Let us begin this service by hymn number 130, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. 130. All nations clap your hands, let shouts of triumph ring, for mighty over all the lands, the Lord Most High is King. Number 130, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. We bury to you from God's holy word the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, the second chapter, the first part, Philippians 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife of vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let his mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. This far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and it be multiplied unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. The Lord of heaven and of earth, source and fountain of all blessings, of all grace, and of all glory, remember us in thy beloved Son, in whom thou art well pleased forever, also in this evening hour of this special day for thy church here on earth, the commemoration that the Son of God in his human nature ascended into heaven. After that he had finished that great work of salvation for which the Father had called him in all eternity, and now to receive that great honor, to receive a place at his right hand, and to sit at the right hand of the Father, resting of his mediatorial work, but also laboring to all eternity, to the last day, that thou shalt give the kingdom into the hand of thy Father, and God shall be all and in all. Lord, remember us in this evening. There is a less, not so much knowledge of it in general, and even in the church, And what we don't know, we cannot love. But Lord, thou hast taken reason out of thyself from all eternity. Look upon us in our gathering in this evening, and that preaching of thy word, that it was accompanied in this evening by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. And that there happens something amongst us that shall endure in our hearts forever and forever. There is no more hope at the side of men. And shall there be some hope in our hearts and some expectation, then it has to come from above. We have separated ourselves from thee, have run away from thee as a prodigal son, never to return unto thee. But now that the Father has sent his Son as a mediator, as a savior, as a surety, that is the only ground and expectation for eternity, for a lost and for an undone sinner who had nothing in himself, then that thought, that sentence of eternal condemnation, that thy word be applied to our hearts in this evening, that Christ become necessary, suitable, excellent, and precious for our hearts. Remember young and old, great and small, and that we become interested in it while we are still at this side of death and eternity. The time is short for each and every one, and every day and every hour can be the last that we hear on earth. Prepare us graciously to meet thee in righteousness and in peace. Remember our coming and rising generation. Oh, indict them in the heart with what is necessary to live in comfort and to die in peace. And that in the heart of thy children, that everything was taken away as ground for eternity, and that the soul may rest in God through the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. O blessed Savior and Mediator, remember us as that great intercessor in heaven, at the right hand of the Father, and bless us with our children for the first time and by renewal with the blessings, with the heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus. Empty our hearts that we receive out of thy fullness grace for grace. All those that cannot gather with us in hospitals, in Rome, and in different places, we commend them all at the throne of grace. bring them back to the dear ones who are in the hospital. And those that in their homes visit them, in thy love and in thy favor, and those who see nothing else before them than to die, also amongst us, Lord, prepare their soul, that the day of death shall be not a day of terror, but a day of joy and gladness for their heart. All those that in bereavement and sorrow, all the widows, orphans and widows, in their lonesome life, strengthen and sustain them. Remember our boys in the service. Look upon them in mercy. And those that have no desire and no interest in thy word, that they receive it before that it is too late forever. Remember in mercy all thy servants who have to preach also in this evening. Strengthen also us in that heavy task that laid upon our shoulders. Instruct us and teach us and give us some edifying verse and some of the matters in our heart. There is nothing too wonderful for thee. Give arms and earth to stand on our right and left hand, and that we seek the honor of the Lord, the exaltation of Christ, the valor of Zion, and that we together with thy children receive an undeserved blessing. Be with before us and amongst us as a surprising God in this evening, with the pardoning of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now number 183. Your offering will be for our school. 183. O Lord, thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. Captivity thou leadest the captive in thy train. Number 183. Sabbath congregation. This day is a very important day for the church here on earth. It is a day that we with one another commemorate that Christ ascended up into heaven, that Christ as the King of Zion is crowned by his Father, but also had received the honor and the glory also of thy people, because you read in the word of God that the disciples, they have worshipped Christ. A day of great importance, but in general, we see that in this evening again, when it is Christmas, when it is Good Friday, when it is Easter, then there is almost no place empty in church. This evening is different. And why? But there is a reason that most of the churches are closed this evening, and that so many thousands and thousands who call themselves Christians and who speak so high of Christianity that they have even no thoughts about it in their hearts and in their minds. We have not to go so far and to look so far to find the reason for that. To be in blessing congregation, a wonderful blessing, if we all could say we know it. We know it. And I hope that the Lord, the preaching of this evening, may richly bless amongst us. We hope so. But at the other hand, what we don't know, we cannot love. That is the greatest thing, people. Because if the heart was filled with that experimental knowledge, with that knowledge sanctified by the Holy Spirit in our heart, oh, then it will be so different. Because in the ascension of Christ is also guaranteed the ascension of God's people. This evening, with the help of the Lord, I will say something about the ascension of Christ. My text for this evening is in the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 15. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. This verse. I have said it already to you, congregation, that the ascension of Christ, that is a great matter, it is a matter of the greatest significance, and it is also a glorified matter. In paradise, we have broken that tie that there was between the Lord and us. And not only that, but we have declared in Adam our covenant had that we have no longer desire in the ways of the Lord. An awful thought. And if now the Lord from all eternity had not thoughts of peace, then there was never any hope, and there was never any expectation. But is now the only hope that there is left for a sinner that consists in this, that the Father has sent in this world his only begotten Son. That was the reason that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks unto the Father for his unspeakable gift. And of course, if we are privileged in our life with that saving knowledge, then it is still congregation partly. It is so deep and it is so high that we with our minds can never comprehend it. That is impossible. But nevertheless, it is a great blessing if the Lord gives us something of it in our heart by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. And that we are privileged in our life, first of all, with the state and condition in which we have brought ourselves. Because if that not takes place in our life, all that the Lord had in his eternal counsel and what he has executed in the time, in the fullness of time, that shall have never any meaning for us and any value for us. When Christ came here in the world, then his first work that was not to ascend it into heaven? No. But his first action was that he was born out of a virgin, out of Mary, and that he took out of her our human nature. And you know, we hear that in our catechism time and again. You know the reason why that Christ, the Son of God, must assume our human nature? Because the Godhead cannot suffer and even cannot die. That is an impossibility in the Lord. But now he took that human nature to suffer in that human nature, to strive in that human nature, and finally to die in that human nature. And for what cause and for what reason? To satisfy the justice of God. To glorify all God's attributes. And that are all things, congregation, what I mentioned to you, the Lord has to learn us that from point to point. Shall we ever have any knowledge of it in our own heart? We have lost the true knowledge in paradise. And even when Christ have to die in the fullness of time, even then the disciples did not understand anything about it. No. They had well received knowledge of his person as the Son of God, but they have no knowledge about his mediatorial work. And they were standing in their life congregation, as we in our life time and again are standing as before the Lord. And even that the Lord enlightens us through his Spirit, but still there is so much darkness left in our hearts. The day that he said, open my eyes that I see the wonders of thy law. Then Christ arose from the dead. Then you know we have talked about that with you sometime before. What a patience that Christ needed to convince his disciples that he was the risen Savior. He had to show his hands and his feet. To uncover his sight for his disciples. He had to eat a piece of fish. And still, all those things did not help. Think about congregation. In our days, in the religious world, everybody talks about Christ. Everybody. Play upon their lips. But how few shall there be in the church
that know that Christ, that know Him, that have a revelation of Him in their heart, that the Lord had revealed Himself unto them. And then Christ, before that He ascended into heaven, He was 40 days with His disciples. And how many times we don't know, but we know well, several times, that He instructed His disciples, that He had taught them, that He had convinced them about His resurrection. And we have heard Sunday morning that when He for the last time appeared to His disciples, some believed and some doubt. And now Christ, He took His disciples from Bethany to the mouth of hell. Just before that Christ entered into heaven, He was in the house of Lazarus, Martha and Mary. And there was no another one there in that place. A converted man, Simon the leper. He was many times there, the Lord. And before that He now go to His Father, He had desired to visit His dear ones again, to be in their midst for a while. And then He took His disciples with Him. Why? Because those disciples, they must be eyewitnesses of His ascending into heaven. That was His desire. They have seen Him in the power of His resurrection, and now they were privileged to see Him, that He was taken up in heaven. Why? First of all, for their own faith, that it be confirmed, and in the second place, that they were privileged soon to preach the whole way of salvation, the states of Christ's humiliation and the state of Christ's exaltation. And then they could say to the people, we have seen it with our eyes. And we have heard it with our ears. You can realize, people, what an awful work it is for a minister if he have to talk every Sunday about things that he don't know. That is something. That he don't know. But at the other end, what a blessing it is when we are privileged to know something of it. That we have experienced something of it for our own hearts and for our own soul. That we even also know a time in our life that it became Ascension Day for us. If they would awake you in the night And then you would ask that people in what year it was, then they would say that was the year. And then they can even say whether that it was in the morning or in the afternoon or that it was in the evening or night. Because that goes never out of the mind. That they have seen with the eyes of faith the glory of that Christ taken up by his Father in heaven. And then to share for their own heart in the glory of it. And in the comfort of it, that it at that time had encouraged their heart in such a manner that for those moments that there was nothing of the world in their heart. That are circumstances that happens not so much in the life. With the disciples was of once, God's people also once. It can well happen that they are brought back to it with thoughts and mind, oh yes. But as it was that afternoon, no. That is once in the life that that takes place. Christ, he took his disciples to the Mount of Olives. And still then there were some, they asked him about the erecting of that worldly kingdom. They asked him about it. Whether that now the time was there, and they have seen him now in his resurrection. They have seen him now many times in those 40 days. You must say they must have so be convinced that his kingdom not was of this world. And still they ask that question. On the other hand, people, I am glad that it is in the Bible. I am glad that it is in the Bible. You know why? You know why? That after so many experiences of the glory of Christ, that so many earthly things filled our minds and our hearts. Even David, he complained that his soul was cleaving to the dust. And if it then come to the question, people, is it possible to fill our hearts and minds with the heavenly things? No. Then the Lord himself, he has to take you with him from Bethany to the Mount of Olives. That is something that the Lord has to do in our life. Personally, in the first place, what a blessing that Christ is a leader. A leader. In Psalm 24, there you have even two texts that speaks about that. David, he said, first of all, he leadeth me besides a still water. And then he said further, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. And that is now, congregation, the privilege of that people. I have to mention that to you to make not a wrong conclusion. But he leadeth his people that know something of the principle of the work of God. As you read in Psalm 73, thou hast holden me by my right hand. And then we have in Christ a leader. And of course, you know, in accordance to Isaiah 42, that he shall lead the blind, who had eyes, in the ways that they never have known, and in paths that they have never known. And now I say to you, they came to the Mount Olive, that was for the disciples not an unknown place. They were more there with Christ, and especially in the Garden of Gethsemane, that was by the feet of that mountain. But now that Gethsemane, that was now closed. Christ, he was there once in that heavy conflict with the devil. In that awful conflict with death. And where God as yet came before him, requiring that he would pay for all the guilt and for all the transgressions of his people. And that he will take away the curse of the law. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, there his sweat was as great drops of blood. There he lay under the eternal wrath of God. He came on the cross of Calvary, where he was forsaken of God, and that all to suffer the hell's agonies for his people, and to close also hell for them. But you know, and that is another point that we have to explain to you, Christ died on the day that we called the Good Friday. And then it was in his life as surety, it was never so dark. The hour's darkness over the whole world. And that lay before the mouth of all of congregation. That lay before the mouth of hell. Christ came to those places as a surety of his people. We can never bear the eternal wrath of God. No, that is impossible. Christ had done it only. He said, I have trodden the winepress only. And not one of the nations was with me. Not one of the nations. This congregation, what is the conclusion? That we try sometime in our life without tears, without conversion, without experience to go up to heaven. But you cannot realize that is impossible. Therefore, the ascension of Christ, people, is so important. And it's so necessary. In Rutherford, he said in his sermon that the Father has sent his Son in this world. And he said, go to the bottom of hell and take from the bottom of hell those jewels and then to wash them in thy blood and to bring them back in my communion and fellowship. But Rutherford, he said also, it hath cost that mediator so much pain because he has to bow so deep to pick him up out of that murky clay of sin. Oh, I have no words, people, really, I have no words, no. I want that I have words to explain it to you. But who shall explain it? Who shall explain it? How deep that we have fallen away from the Lord. In what an abyss that we are laying. Oh, really, if it ever pleased the Lord in our life to open the mysteries of faith and the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is nothing in our heart than a worshiping of the Lord. And worshiping of him. And then the depth of the wisdom and the knowledge and the love and the grace of God that comes on the foreground. And as for ourselves, people, then it becomes the greatest wonder that had ever to take place in our heart and in our soul. Christ, he took his people with him to the mouth of hell, that they would be witnesses of his majesty and his glory. He had prayed to his Father, glorify thy Son with the glory which I had with thee before that the world was. And he had also prayed for that glory and for that reward that the Father had promised his Son in the Council of Peace. Read. And now in his resurrection, in the first step of his exaltation, we see something of it. But in the second step of his exaltation, much more than in the first, Christ, he led them out as far as to Bethany. He brought them to the mouth of Olives that was there in that neighborhood of Bethany. And there is another comforting word this evening, people. Oh, the life of Christ was in the depths. You know that. I have not to repeat that in this evening. No. We hear that every year, especially in the Passion Weeks. But now it was different. The depths were all closed. He would never come back in it. But he took his people with him. And that is now to the comfort for all God's children, that it is not always in the depths, no. Sometimes the Lord brings him on the mountains. Sometimes here he brought them to the mouth of Al. And then at that mouth of Al, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, you read not about the souls of the devil there. You read nothing there of the enmity of the world. And you have never read that they also have to do something with the corrupted heart. That lay all on them. They were standing there now with Christ at the mouth of Olive, and what happened then at that time? And that moment, then Christ, as that great high priest, he lifted up his hand. That was in command, you know, that the Lord had given to the high priest in the Old Testament, to Aaron, to lift up his hand. But what was now the difference between the lifting up of the hands of Aaron and the priest of the Old Testament and the high priest after the ordaining of Melchizedek? You know the difference. Aaron had never the prints of the nails in his hands, but the hands of Christ were pierced. And what is now the spiritual meaning that his hands were pierced? That means that he had brought a full satisfaction and a perfect reconciliation. A perfect satisfaction toward his Father. And a perfect reconciliation for his dear people here in this world. He lifted up his hands. And now out of his pierced hands, all the blessings what we need for time and for eternity that flows and that comes out of his hands, people. He is for all his people in cause of the return of salvation. And for the temporal life, he had merited also everything that people can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. Christ is ready to depart. And that is so wonderful, congregation. When Christ was with the two men of Emmaus, and it seems that he would go further than the place Amos, then those two men, they said, they restrained him, and they said, abide with us. It is at the evening time, not here. No, not here. Were they tired of him? Were they glad that he go? They were not tired of him. But they have realized that he was ready now to bring the human nature into heaven. That did he realize. And that he was ready now to receive all the glory and honor from his Father, but also to enter into heaven, to apply his mediatorial work in the hearts of all his dear children, and to prepare a place for them in heaven. Because if the Lord comforts the sinner, and he comes with his Spirit in our hearts, people, then we are no more of this world. And then it is such a blessing, as David said in Psalm 119, I am a stranger and a pilgrim here on earth. That this world is no longer our home, but that we are realizing that we have to here, to be here for a little while here in the world. But at the time of our departure, that it is coming, you read about that of Peter in his second epistle, that he was so aware of it, and that he was longing for that time, that the Lord would deliver him out of this world, and Paul deliver out of the body of sin. Christ, he lifted up his hands, his pierced hands, and with those lifting up of his hands, their Christ guaranteed them that they would lay under his protection for time and for eternity. Because Christ would well enter into heaven, but he would continue the same thing that he had started here on earth. And that is praying for his church, and that is blessing his church. Because Paul, he said in Galatians or in Colossus, and out of his fullness we receive grace for grace. And if we now belong to Christ, people, first then we have so much, but then we become empty. And we become more and more empty in ourselves, that we receive out of the fullness of Christ grace for grace. God's people that shall meet Christ in their life more and more, and their heart that shall go out to him with longing, and that his salvation shall come down to them in their hearts. The people, if it is on the right way, then the people that can live only in the presence of God and of Christ. Only there. And now Christ, with his human nature, he entered well into heaven, but with his divine nature, he abides with his strength, with his Godhead, with his majesty, with his Spirit, and with his grace. And he shall never leave, and he shall never forsake his people. That was now the reason, congregation, that they could let him go, and there was only more of that. Because Christ had also said to his disciples, it is expedient for you that I go to my Father. Because he must a greater privilege given unto them as that they have already received. And that was the descending of the Holy Spirit in their heart, And then that spirit that would take away the darkness in their minds and in their hearts. And then after 10 days they shall stand there in Jerusalem, preaching the full counsel of God. And in which consists now the full counsel of God that we start in eternity and that we ended in eternity. That is the full counsel of God. Therefore, congregation, there are so much reason and ground that the church of the Old Testament singing about the ascension of Christ declared, ye gates, lift your heads, the glad and summons obey, ye doors everlasting, wide open the way. It is number 58. Now, congregation, on that day and on that morning that Christ ascended into heaven, there he showed there his majesty and his glory. Enoch and Elijah, they were also taken up in heaven, but not in their own strength. Christ was well taken up, but Christ was also ascended in heaven. And he is made, said Paul in Hebrews 7, higher than the heavens. He entered into the holy place, and he is gone to the Father, taking his residence, which was original from all eternity in heaven. And then he goes well away from his disciples bodily, but he remained with them spiritually, and he blessed his disciples. He blessed in his disciples the whole church. And of course that is now what is necessary for each and every one as travels to eternity. It is possible, people, that it is for me, that it is for you, the last time in our life that we speak and that we have heard about that great event. Let us not play the day of death far away from us, but ask the Lord that he give us grace to make haste for our life's sake. There is several old people amongst us also in this evening. A loathsome life, a life that they never have desired. But in the way of God's providence, the Lord had taken away from them their husbands or their wives. In some families, some of the children. And what is now left here in this world congregation? An empty life. Nothing else. And there is not one person that can fill that empty life as only one, and that is Christ. That Christ who brought his disciples to the mouth of earth from Bethany. And Bethany, that means a house of sorrow. But now he brought his disciples to the mouth of Olives to open for them that spiritual and that eternal joy that one day forever all the tears shall be wiped away from their eyes. And that they shall receive the full desire of their heart. Our life congregation, they become more and more empty. We do not desire it, but that goes through, if we be honest. And now with our tears and with our conversion, and with our experiences, we cannot go up to heaven. No. That is only with Christ and through Christ and in Christ. That is only with him. And also this evening, my dear people, also this evening, the necessity of the knowledge of Christ and united with Christ by faith, that is what stands on the foreground. Everything outside of him that falls away, we can well have the fruits of spiritual life, we can have the fruits, but the fruit is not the ground. And it is of not the root. The root and the ground, that is only Christ. And in this evening I have to preach to you again. Again. And this is life eternal. That they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And really, there can be no continually rest in our heart without that. That is impossible. That the Holy Spirit, young and old, great and small, convinced us of the necessity of the knowledge of that Christ. But would it be a blessing this evening if you could leave the churches with that emptiness in your heart, with that emptiness that you say, I am missing the Lord. Parents, that our children came back in this evening, that they have to say nothing, but that they immediately go to the bed. And that you, when you would ask them what is the cause, what is the reason, and if they have freedom, that they say, oh, this evening I have heard what there is missing. What there is missing in my heart. And what is necessary to know shall it be well for that great and ever-ending eternity with a handful of living people. And with a bubble full of tears, we cannot meet the Lord, but only with Christ and his righteousness, and with the power of his blood. Let me not deceive one another for that great eternity, people. No. In our days, there are so many people happy. Happy. But with what they are happy. With what we have. With a head full of knowledge, but an empty heart of Christ and of his divine grace. And my dear congregation, if it comes never farther as our head, then we cannot meet our Maker. And it is true. There is not one that can bring it from our head in our heart, as only the Lord. Ask him this evening. Ask him. Ask him with your mind, with your historical knowledge. Shall I say something to you this evening? Ask the Lord that he will take away what you will keep. And that he will give you what you need desire. Because there is not one that desires saved by grace. We are all enemies of it. We are all enemies. But Lord, take away from me what I have to lose. And grant unto me what I need. Oh Lord, that thou becomest precious, suitable, necessarily for my soul. Please bind it as upon my heart, young and old, great and small, 'tis the Lord who can give you that. Oh, what would it be a blessing that we became sick. Sick for what? From us, of the love of God and the love of Christ. And that it was so serious and so bound upon our heart and our soul. Give me Jesus ere I die. And that by day and night, that it was that need in our heart, speak thou to my soul, I am thy salvation. Acknowledge your unworthiness. Acknowledge before the Lord what? That hell is our place. Acknowledge that. Because shall we ever have an ascending into heaven, then that goes before that. That lay before it. And that you would say, Lord, thou art right if you cast me away in that place of perdition forever. But view me in thy beloved Son, in him, who descended into hell, but who ascended now into heaven, and who is at the right hand of his Father to apply what he has merited. And it is never given to good people and to righteous people, no, Rahab the harlot, Ruth from Moab, the prodigal son, that woman that lay at his feet in Luke 7. Examples enough to give, to encourage us, to drive us out to the throne of grace, that we say, Lord, this may be the last time this evening that it was a sensing day for me in the world. But oh, before that I have to leave the world, that it has become a sensing day for my heart. And that I receive children of God in my midst, that there is, that you receive that guarantee. As Christ was lifted up and taken up in heaven, that it shall be also our portion, and that we are longing for that day and for that hour, that we are what? That we are delivered of self, of that ballast, that ballast. You go as a ballast over the world. You go as a ballast over the world, people. Tired of self, tired of self. And long for that time to see him who had taken the highest place in earth. My beloved is mine. And all that is of him is altogether lovely. Such is my friend. Daughters of Jerusalem, amen. Lord, that a few words of this also poor and empty, but that a few words be blessed and be sanctified for the whole congregation, for our boys and girls, for our children, for fathers and mothers, for each and every one. Look upon the congregation, that sinners be brought out of that miry clay and brought into communion with thee, that thy people receive the desire of their hearts from Bethany to the mouth of Al, and there laying under the uplifted hands of Christ, and blessed by him for time and for eternity. Lord, remember all of us in thy condescending mercy, also for our father, the family, ask for that in this moment, to remember him in his difficulties, in his needs and in his wants, for soul and for body, for time and for eternity. Look upon him and his dear family, and all of us in thy condescending mercy. And that it may please thee, Lord, to humble those parents who have received a second child in this day. May it dwell with that mother, strengthen that child, and that it was born to be born again. Remember the whole congregation with elders and deacons, fathers and mothers. Prepare us for the next Sabbath day, but above all for that great day of judgment, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 418, the second stanza. 418, the second stanza. God has gone on high with a joyful cry. And what follows 418, the second stanza.
Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.